"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What a pleasant day. Sun is shining. It's nice and warm. How's little Bo Peep? You doing okay over there in the news booth?
I lost my sheep. I'm doing fine.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you sound like a little bird when you come in with the news. Like a little Bo Peep, 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 animal this, peep, peep, peep.
Thanks, Ken.
Today, the Los Angeles City Council. Yeah, there she is. That's the news update.
That should be the news.
It's a pleasant sound. You shouldn't be offended.
It is pleasant.
Would you like to hear that in the morning outside your window?
Yes, sure. I would.
We'll put you in a little cage.
John had a gun. He'd start shooting them in the trees. It's a good thing he can't. He throws knives. It's kind of weird. Today, the Los Angeles City Council hid from public view by having a virtual meeting.
Yeah.
This decision was made last week. The excuse to the media was COVID.
You believe that, or you think these guys just...
Well, Mike Bonin had COVID, and now Krikorian allegedly has COVID.
Do you think they really have COVID, or they just don't want to... sit and listen to people screaming at them for hours and hours.
I'm looking at the photo of the meeting, and I guess Mitchell Farrell wore the mask. It looked like he was in City Hall while the rest were remote.
Well, on Zoom, you could click mute on, and you don't have to hear all the screaming and the cursing and all the other insults. And I'm wondering if that's why they did it. And they go,
right.
Oh, look at that. I tested positive yesterday morning. Whoa, I got to stay home for a week or so.
I think it's more that they didn't want to go to City Hall because it's overwhelmed with protesters.
That's what I
think. Tough to get in and get out.
That's what I'm saying. It's like they're faking COVID, right? Wouldn't you fake COVID rather than sit
there? Well, there was COVID. I mean, if Bonin has COVID and Krikorian has COVID.
That's what makes it the perfect excuse, isn't it? Nobody's going to disbelieve you. Oh, yeah, COVID's all over the place. Sure. Oh, I hope you get better. But if I was them, I want to listen to these fanatics screaming at you for 4 hours. I'd say, I've got COVID. I'm going home. And then you put the volume on mute and you don't hear a thing.
Now, you know, it's really evident now. I heard some clips this morning of these activists. Some of them are at Kevin DeLeon's city council house where he's not there. It's in Eagle Rock. And I really was convinced today that these are professional activists. They just refer to him now like a radio station. He's KDL. Did you see that? They have signs, KDL.
KDL.
KDL must go. KDL, that's his name.
Oh, what's
Kevin
his
DeLeon is referred to as KDL. Again, it's like texting. It's too much to say the whole thing.
What's his frequency there?
Just, I know.
KDL, 95.
Call letters, KFI and KDL.
I don't know if you saw this. We sent you the Quiet Desperation of Woke Fanatics by Michael Schellenberger. And I want to do this in depth later, because you remember we were talking with the reporter from Los Angeles Magazine a few weeks ago. It was the history of homelessness in Los Angeles, and asked him, why are these homeless advocates so committed? What's in it for them? And he goes, you know, I don't know. He goes, I'm reporting on what they're doing, but why they're doing it, I don't know. I didn't ask him. And that's been bugging me, because it covers a lot of things in life. Why do people get fanatically involved in anything? So Schellenberger actually quoted this book from 1950, coming out of Nazism in the middle of communism. And it's a longer thing. But one of the things he noted in one of his writings is that, you know, the can of tomato soup that was thrown at the Van Gogh painting? Those people belong to an organized group that is funded with millions of dollars. You know who funds them?
I don't know. George Soros?
Close. It's the Getty and the Rockefeller families. Whoever's running those foundations are really woke and progressive, and so they fund these little subunits. But they give them big money, six and seven figures. So that's why these young people have all day to run around protesting, waving signs, doing chanting, and then, you know, they throw a can of tomato soup at a painting. They are paid. And it's completely inauthentic. It doesn't represent real people. It's just another tentacle of the BS industry that we're all living with.
Well, plus, if you make a lot of noise, the media likes to cover it. They like to cover stuff that's controversial because they think that'll attract people to look at the story, like throwing soup at a painting, right?
So money for the protesters.
We even talked about it. Everybody talks about it.
Money for the protesters. Money for the television channel that covers it.
But I don't
it.
Think it advances the cause. It's largely just stupid noise.
That's what I'm saying.
We actually have one coming up later on this hour along the same similar vein, and it's a Deborah Mark story.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't. Is. You can cover it because it's entertainment, but it doesn't mean anything that somebody throws a can of tomato soup or somebody goes to a microphone and insults the city council. These people are paid, or they're just complete adrift losers who wander in on their own and
right,
want
this
their
is
moment
why
of fame.
We enjoy playing the moist line callers, but it's the same thing. It's in one ear, out the other, and forgotten in 10 minutes.
But
it's nice to hear. But
so much drama is spun up by the media, especially here in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because I was talking with somebody.
Because they still act like they used to act like when our phones are ringing. Mm. What are the listeners saying, John and Ken? This is representative of the entire population. I'd like to hear some of the calls. And then they would show on camera the little lights ringing on the phones. Well, they treat this the same way.
Well, every once in a while, I would tell the interview the truth, and I'd say, I don't know, we only got six lines, so that's just six opinions. And you'd see their face would fall, because what they want to say to open their report.
Yeah, it's like 1 million opinions.
And we got clips of tons of these stories. Phones were ringing off the hook of the John and Ken show. It's like, well, we know six people were ringing.
Yeah, well, and even if there is 1 million people calling, only six are going to get through at once, so you're still just getting six opinions.
And often it's the same six people that called yesterday.
Shh, don't give away too much. I wanted to begin with this clip, because you've been touching on this, and we touched on it a lot yesterday. Apparently someone who called in today is supporting KDL, Kevin DeLeon. Let's listen.
I just want to say I disagree with what's going on with Mr. Kevin DeLeon. Thank you, Mr. Kevin DeLeon, for all you've done for the community of El Cerrino. We know you are not how the media and your colleagues are trying to portray you. We support you. Hundreds of us are in support of you. This seems like a political ambush to me, hypocrisy at its finest. By this, I'm referring to the rest of the city council coming out on TV saying what they're saying. They need to resign, not you. You and Mr. Sadie and Mr. Gil Sadil have done a lot for the community. It seems like they waited for the perfect opportunity during election time to release this unfortunate audio. You know, we all have bad moments, and we could all learn from this. To the city council, throw the first stone if you've never had bad moments like this or said any inappropriate things.
Thank you. Thank you, Speaker.
No, notice she's more reasonable in her tone, sounds a little more intelligent than the other lunatics that come to the microphone. And I'm wondering how many people like her in his district feel that way.
And we may find out in 24.
Like, no, I like the guy. And who knows how many actually agree or disagree with what he said. What he said was really minor compared to Nuri Martinez. And was this a setup? Was this some kind of political hit? You know, it kind of smells. I mean, it was a secret recording. It's done illegally. It's leaked a year later, right before the election. Yeah, there's a lot of odor around surrounding this thing. And as the story calms down, you know, maybe De Leon isn't going to resign. And maybe he's not going to be forced to leave. And maybe he's going to get reelected. Because maybe it's just going to be like chapter 1612 of overreactions, political and media overreactions.
All right, this next clip we're going to play tells you just how close this whole thing is to Moistline callers. Here we go.
Please unmute yourself and identify the items you'd like to speak on.
I speak. This is not the time for a show. Please speak to us. Okay, speaker, we're going to go on to the next speaker if you don't talk. Okay, so let's go to the next speaker.
Is that Mitch O'Farrell?
I think so, yeah. Totally, or maybe somebody else who was running the callers.
He's totally humorless, whoever that was.
I know.
Without a sense of humor.
If you've ever listened to The Moist Line, what we have in the background is it's like Calliope, Christmas music. It's Calliope kind of circus music.
Yeah, it's very close to that, yeah.
It's pretty close to that. That's the old circus music you'll remember.
There you go.
Yeah, that's The Moist Line. But that guy played what's... Yeah, it is kind of like...
That could have been one of our listeners calling it.
I wonder if it was. All right, when we... look at that. How dare you make fun of us with circus music? Is that what you're trying to say? We're like a three-ring circus here? Send in the clowns?
They don't know their jokes. That's the funniest thing of all. They don't know that.
We're conducting city business, John, and we need to get the city to heal. Oh, and that's what I heard today. There's no healing until these two guys resign.
There's no healing. Yeah, you know, I cut my hand the other day, and I can't get it to close up.
An open gushing wound.
I know, and I'm just waiting for De Leon to quit, and then, you know, maybe it'll heal over there.
All right, we'll play a little bit more when we come back, including these protesters who still tried to smash their way into City Hall, even though it was a virtual meeting. John and Ken, KFI, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Oh, we got juicy stuff on the show today. Good stuff coming out of the Weinstein case on the Newsoms. That's right. Gavin Newsom and his wife, Jennifer Dumbbell Newsom. Isn't that her name?
No, it's Cybell.
Oh, sorry.
Cybell, yes.
My mind was on the gym from this morning. Cybell. But you told me I can't use the three names.
You got to pick one.
All right, Jennifer Cybell.
No one's allowed three names.
And this one goes back to Gavin's cheating days. Uh-huh. A lot of people may not be aware he cheated with his campaign manager's wife.
Mm. Yeah, and
Jennifer was asking Weinstein, supposedly, for advice because she was dating him at the time. And, you know, she's asking Weinstein.
He was cheating with
you think about that. She's going to ask Weinstein.
Well, and this was after the alleged sexual attack.
No, I don't think so, was it? Oh, maybe it was.
I think that's why they were bringing it up in court.
Oh, I see. You're right, right, right. I was thinking before he got exposed on the Me Too. That's right.
Right.
Which was 2017. Right. Yes, you're right. You're right. This is before, or rather after, she supposedly was sexually assaulted by Weinstein when she went to that hotel and he wanted to go up to the room and all that. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Oh, no, there's... because it's the defense introducing the email.
Right. So, because they want to say I guess she didn't consider it that terrible an attack if she's...
She came back to him for advice on...
For advice on Newsom.
On a guy she's dating and seeing.
Well, these are all just awful people, aren't they?
Yeah, it is an ugly gutter.
You wouldn't want to know any of these people personally.
All right, the LA City Council today met virtually. All the little heads back on Zoom because they're frightened of the public, which, well, it's not the public. It's the activists have been showing up demanding the resignations. They're not going to let you get anything done until Gil Cedillo and KDL resign. KDL.
Stop with the KDL.
KDL. They wanted to pick a new city council president today. Not that anybody cares, but they didn't. They didn't get enough votes. It's Paul Kerkorian and Curran Price seem to want to be the council president. I think Mitch O'Farrell wants to run out of the building, actually, after all this. He looks a little bit like a deer in the headlights sometimes.
Yeah. I think he needs a job with one of those crooked nonprofits and bilk tax money trying to clean up homelessness. I think that's what his future is.
Yeah. We love the fact that Kevin De Leon got stripped of his committees, and one of them, he was chairman of the homeless committee. That's going well.
Oh, what a loss. Wait. We need his leadership.
Apparently, things got a little wild. Protesters tried to get into the doors of City Hall, even though this was a virtual meeting. We think Mitchell Farrell was sitting in there with a mask on, but everybody else was remote.
Shows you how dumb that crowd is, huh?
Well,
you're going to break into an empty room.
Well, Mitch should be sitting there shaking. Let's play the audio of their wild behavior.
What is this, 10 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I think it was, 10 or 11.
Well, what were you doing at 10 o'clock in the morning?
Uh-oh. Time to remove them.
Here come the batons.
No resignation, no meeting.
Well,
there was a meeting, although I don't think they did anything. We got some cursing. Do you want to hear that? It's a
yes.
Woman. All right, let's play that clip.
I'm not going to go into what racist gerrymandering trash the redistricting process has. We are all aware of it. Really, thank God for the leak, because it's so vindicating to finally have proof of what is going on behind closed doors. LA has the most underrepresented local government of any major U.S. city, and I'm pretty sure it ranks towards the top in the world. I guess we're number one at something. Go us. Anyway, this is possibly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Angelenos. Hopes and prayers that you don't all f*** it up for us.
No.
another one.
We have the most what? Underrepresented?
Well, we only have 15 council people.
All for the population.
Yeah, for the population, that is, yeah.
What does New York have? Do you know?
Oh, they have lots.
They have like 100?
Yeah, they have lots. Most big
Chicago's all these aldermen, right?
And yeah,
older,
yeah.
Are they aldermen still, or older persons, or older?
They're
just alders.
51 in New York, see?
51?
Right.
Oh, I guess, yeah. They want to expand this to maybe 30, right? Wasn't that the talk? From 15 council members to 30?
Every council district is precious, because the bottom line of this meeting, and a few people I've been talking to have started to notice this, right? They said, hey, you know what the bigger story was? Is you had these Hispanic council people trying to carve up the city and grab land from the black council districts. That's what they were doing. Because they
right. Well, their argument is, we've got the population, we got to get the voters, we got to get the numbers.
Sure, but they're doing it in a back.
We are underrepresented on the council,
but
based on everything they do about race identity.
Right, but this backroom deal, it's not out in the open.
But they don't control the redistricting committee. I don't know if they were trying to overrule the redistricting committee.
Well, because that was just a recommendation. You can have an independent redistricting agency that just lays down the law and says, here it is. And then you can go to court and challenge it if you think it's unfair. But here it seems like this is just a recommendation from this agency. And so they were all what they wanted to do is build a coalition to adjust the council district lines.
Oh.
And so
it was really ironic about that, going back to the leaked recording. Remember Gil Cedillo talking about the districts? He wanted to make sure he didn't get the activists in his district. I remember. Then that's who these people are. They've been showing up at City Hall. It was almost like a year later. It was quite predicting the future there. Leave them in, what's her name's, Nithya Raman's district, where they belong.
Yeah, the crazy people. Yeah, put all the activists in one crazy box together. And it shows you how scared these guys are of the activists, just physically scared and intimidated. Which is why they give in so often, because they fear for their lives. They fear for their safety. They fear for their families, because these activists are so nuts. They all ought to be locked up in an institution. But, they run around City Hall. They barge into offices all the time. And it's like, fine, whatever you want. Just go away. Because these guys, they don't care about these issues. None of these people care if the homeless rot in the streets and die or not. What they want is all the graft and corruption. That's why they ran for office, so they could enrich themselves. And they don't want to have screaming homeless activists, screaming bike activists, screaming, whatever, global warming activists. Like, oh, they're all headache people. Can't talk to them.
I mean, Cedillo ran into the bike activists. He had a vicious battle with them in his district about them wanting all these bike lanes. He thought it got out of control. It was I thought he made sense.
Well, I admire him a little for that, because regular people don't want bike lanes. It clogs up traffic for regular people. I don't know anybody who drives who wants a bike lane taking up one full lane of traffic. Nobody wants that. But these bike activists, again, and they're funded by rich people, go into Cedillo's office and all the others and scream and yell, and you know, they throw tomato soup, and it's like, okay, fine, fine, you know, I give up. No, these activists are a scourge, absolute scourge. They need to be locked up. Screw their First Amendment rights.
Yeah. Oh, I guess, yeah. All right, Paul Kerkorian's the new L.A. City Council president. I guess they did get some business done. Not that it matters. Who cares? But
well,
he's an oaf, too, isn't he? I don't know.
Yeah, he's
an oaf. Koretz has got the chin bag. Kerkorian, though, we've run into him, too.
Oh, they're all oafs. They're all bad news.
All right, we got more coming up. After 3 o'clock, we're going to take you back in time because it's come around to the Board of Supervisors. If you live in L.A. County, we've lost $32 million thanks to Child Services. It's one of those sad stories, again, with the death of a little boy where Child Services visited the family over and over again and did not protect the boy from, well, it's usually the mother and a live-in boyfriend. This is the story, and we'll talk about it next hour with the attorney on the case, Brian Claypool of Anthony Avalos, and $32 million the Board of Supervisors is handing over to the family in a settlement of that lawsuit. John and Ken on KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Okay, coming up next hour, we will be talking to Brian Claypool, an attorney for family members of little Anthony Avalos, the 10-year-old boy who died in 2018 after being tortured extensively by his mother and her boyfriend. The reason is the LA County Board of Supervisors approved a $32 million settlement in a lawsuit filed by relatives of that boy. This is, again, it involves Child Services, and they're unbelievable. Is it, we got to pay, right? We, the taxpayers, have to hand over the money. They should be in prison for the awful work they did on this case involving not just this boy, but a couple of other boys. Because we're also going to talk about Noah Quattro. There's a development in that case that Brian wants to talk about. So it's important. We'll talk to him after the news at 3 o'clock. The Moist Line. Have you heard of it, John? It's coming back Friday.
It's in the news every day, it seems.
I know. This is the callers to the L.A. City Council or the protesters. You can connect with the Moist Line using the iHeartRadio app or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Today on the show, you're going to hear some stories involving something that John and I really hope fades away, and that is the extremist, and I hate the term, but they've coined it, progressive politics of some people that is so far out of whack from reality that in the story we're going to do now, progressives are divided. It concerns a neighborhood in New York City. Brooklyn, New York, Park Slope, if you've ever heard of it.
That is super woke, that area.
And Deborah Mark, I hate to tell you, but at the center of this is a dead dog.
Why?
Hate to tell you, or the dead dog?
Why is there a dead dog?
That's well, you can imagine this would happen in the world we live in now. A woman was walking her dog, an 80-pound golden retriever named Moose, at the local park where apparently she does it quite often. Well, Jessica Christie, or Krusty, is it Trusty? Krusty? Or Krustick? It's C-H and then Rustic. How would you pronounce that? Trustic?
Krustick, I guess.
She's 40. this being a progressive neighborhood, prepare yourself for her job. She's a professional beekeeper. So you keep other people's bees? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
And you get paid for it?
You collect the honey.
And then they come and they visit their bees and get their honey?
Natural organic honey, yes.
So she's walking this dog Moose in Prospect Park in Brooklyn. And she does it all the time. And she saw a man rifling through the garbage. She'd seen him before, tall, dreadlocks, wrapped in a turban, carrying a long staff, muttering to himself, cursing. She usually keeps her distance, but this time she couldn't avoid him in the part of the park she was in. He started yelling about immigrants taking over the park, grabbed a bottle of what she later concluded was urine, sloshed it at her and the dog. She tried to run away, but the golden retriever, she thinks, trying to protect her, was lunging towards the man,
right,
and he hit it with his big stick.
Oh, no.
Connected with the dog's snout, ugh, the dog apparently survived a few days, but had some internal problems and died.
So sad.
Now she takes to John's favorite forum. John, what is that forum?
Oh, Nextdoor.
The Nextdoor Network. And she starts telling people to try to warn them about the man asking them to report any more sightings to the police. She got a lot of sympathetic comments, but it didn't take long before, you can guess what happened, the people who favor the homeless weighed in.
Yes. So they're okay with that poor dog being killed?
Yes,
in a sense they are.
Yeah, they're more sympathetic to the homeless guy than they are to the dog.
Okay, let's see how they will feel when their dog gets hit by a big stick and dies.
Can I tell you, after I have read just hundreds and hundreds of these next door exchanges, because on the West Side, there's some kind of homeless atrocity almost every day. And it always the person posts the story, usually in just a matter-of-fact way, gets a lot of sympathy, and then here come the pro-homeless trolls. And it turns into this big fight, and eventually they start screaming about Donald Trump in the end. It's just incredible. It is the same thing. They'll have like 110 comments, and it devolves down to a half a dozen people insulting each other. It is the most idiotic forum I've just ever seen in my life, and every day it happens.
So here is, believe it or not, this is explained by the Times. The woman is white. The dog is a dog, but the homeless guy was black. And this plays into these crazy progressives fighting each other. So on the Nextdoor app, a minority, they do describe them as a vocal minority, asked why Park Slope residents, mostly white, were calling for the police to take down a man who appears to be homeless and emotionally disturbed. Others called the man a monster, a predator, or a psychopath.
Wait a second. But if killing a dog doesn't convince you why, I don't know what to say.
Martin Loughness, 52, a dancer and choreographer who did live in the neighborhood but moved out in 2020, wrote this. He urged people to put their emotions aside. 400 years of systemic racism prevented black people from building generational wealth through home ownership, resulting in the extreme disparity we see today. Arresting the man would solve none of that.
And that's why.
Can you believe that's what he did with this situation?
That's what they do with everything. What they do.
You are correct. That's why I wanted this story, because it does explain things a bit. What? If you want to try to explain this lunacy,
they change the subject, because in their minds, no black person, no black man is ever guilty of any crime, because if you start talking about 400 years of systemic racism, that's the explanation for everything. Right. So it doesn't matter if he killed a dog. It doesn't matter if he killed 10 dogs. The explanation is the same.
Right. And the Times contacted him. He said, well, I want people to not focus on what happened to the poor dog. I want people to focus on the larger scheme of things, you see? And that's the whole racism and the imperialism and colonialism built this nation.
Except there are millions of successful black people who have great jobs. They run businesses. They run companies. They're executives. They're lawyers. They're doctors. They have plenty of blue collar jobs. All the whole economic spectrum. They own homes. They have cars. So that's nonsense. History of somebody's race has nothing to do with why this guy took a stick and beat a dog to death. Nothing.
Nothing.
It's this guy's decisions in life, or it was lack of care from his family, who didn't do something about his schizophrenia, or it's his fault for starting his life on drugs. It's him and the family. It doesn't extend 400 years ago. That is a religious cult speaking, and you can't reason with them because they just changed the subject and go back to square one. And now, the internet is filled with this all day and night.
In New York, depending on the level of cruelty, killing a dog can be a misdemeanor or a felony carrying a prison sentence of up to 2 years. But there are people on one side of this fight who said, we don't want to bring the police into this. Clearly, this is a disturbed individual. Let's de-escalate the situation and try to handle it locally. I know, I'm seriously. This is
nothing. You can't handle it locally. All he's going to do is wander free, and next time he has a moment, he's going to take his stick and maybe beat a little girl to death, or beat a woman who's jogging, or beat another dog. That's what's going to happen. How many of them do you want? Well, these people are so foolish and stupid, and I'm so sick of them. Aren't you sick of them? What foolish, stupid bozos they are. I mean, you can't have a peaceful society this way. Guy kills a dog with a stick, you send it to a mental institution.
This happened months ago, Deborah, but the woman that owns the dog has still not moved his bed or his food bowls. Aww. She hasn't recovered from the trauma.
I don't blame her. I would be traumatized as well.
In her quote, she says she considers herself a progressive because this is Park Slope, Brooklyn, but she put it pretty well at the end of the story. I'm very empathetic towards people who are unhoused and are having hard times and mental illness. I think there should be some resources for them. There should be more housing. But what I emphasize, this is one person who needs to be removed from this park. He's violent. End of story. And that really should be all there is to it. Right? Someone else said, are they waiting for someone to die next?
Oh, then they'll excuse that. They'll go back to the start of their argument 400 years ago. It's the same thing. You are not dealing with rational people. There's no debating them. And that's why I wish most of the sane world would stop debating these people. Just outnumber them, overwhelm them, outvote them, out everything them. They're a tiny minority.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I will be joined by Brian Claypool, an attorney, and of course one of his specialties is representing family members of little children who were tortured, beaten, who died at the hands of, usually it's their mother and their live-in boyfriend. Not in every case, but in a number of them. He's involved in the Anthony Avalos case. That's the 10-year-old boy who died at the hands of his mother and live-in boyfriend. They still face life in prison. That was the case where I think Gascon reversed charging them for death penalty. Instead, Heather Barron and her boyfriend, Kareem Leyva, now face life in prison without the possibility of parole if convicted. But what happened today is the L.A. County Board of Supervisors approved a massive $32 million settlement in the civil lawsuit filed by the relatives. We're going to talk about that with Brian, but also he has things to say about another case he's involved with, and that's the death of little Noah Quattro. And this time I think it was at the hands of his actual parents. He represents Noah's great-grandmother in the civil lawsuit, and he says lawyers for L.A. County are really a problem here and doing something dangerous. Not the L.A. County DA. I didn't even know L.A. County lawyers. You see the difference here? They're involved. I guess the county has its own legal department.
Yeah, they got a huge legal staff.
And clearly, since the county has to pay out, and it would come from the county coffers, I guess the county law offices get involved in trying to defend in this case.
Yeah, it's a civil suit.
Yeah.
So you don't have
the DA's involved in criminal.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry. So we'll talk to him after the news at 3 o'clock. We've been talking about wild progressives. And of course, the story last week, which John mentioned earlier this hour, is a couple of them went to a museum in London and they threw soup on a painting, trying to. What was it, the protest, the oil industry, I believe it was? I think it was, yeah.
That's the thing, is like, I can't even remember what it was they protested.
The painting had glass over it, so they didn't damage the painting.
I know.
The organization was Just Stop Oil.
Just Stop Oil.
That says it pretty completely.
Right.
So it was kind of nonsense. But otherwise, the same with this story. They just stood there and did this. I don't really understand why they weren't grabbed by the hair and pulled out of there.
Well, did you ever see a little kid with a tantrum? I mean, I had three of them. I saw a fair number of tantrums.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just do something really impulsive because they're angry and they make a mess. And then they stand there and cry.
Well, it's a good way you put that because it's clean up on aisle three, Deborah Mark.
Yes.
They're going to grocery stores in the UK and they're pouring milk out into the aisle, literally taking the cartons of milk and pouring them onto the floor of the grocery store. Mm. Cartons and cartons of them. It's a group called Animal Rebellion. They're trying to call attention to the damage to the environment from the dairy industry, really,
because
in agriculture in general.
Cows fart and blow methane into the atmosphere. And methane is a greenhouse gas. So what they're doing is they're making a big milk mess over cow farts.
Do you like this one, Deborah?
Not making this up.
No, I don't condone this. I don't.
Oh, that's good to hear.
I know I don't.
Why was there a puddle of milk in your booth?
I don't
before?
Have any milk around me because I don't drink milk. But
did she go into the company refrigerator in the lunchroom there and just start throwing milk on the floor?
Some one-woman
I'm
going to
go pour it on your head, John.
See, there you
that
go.
Would be funny.
There you go.
All right, Eric, get your camera out. We're going to go post this.
Yesterday, she was gluing herself to
and,
the wall.
And do me a favor, smush his face with cheese while you're at it, because that's another dairy product that he loves.
I have to go find some gloves first.
I don't think John drinks a lot of milk, but he loves cheese.
Yeah.
Handel did leave a bunch of schmear and cream cheese outside. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. There you go.
And that's probably spoiled by
now.
Yeah,
do your own little one-woman protest and have the news people follow you around.
That would be fun.
That's right. We'll put that on the social media. Deborah's,
we'd get a lot of likes.
Yeah, Deborah's,
a lot of
Deborah's daily social justice
well,
protest.
Well, I think you'll like their bottom line message. We need a plant-based future now.
Absolutely. I like the message. Just figure out another way to get it across.
The world's top five meat and dairy corporations are now responsible for more emissions than Exxon, Shell, or BP, they claim.
And they persuade nobody. All it does, it costs the grocery store money because that's lost product they can't sell. I mean, it's just so ridiculously. These people are among the stupidest who can walk upright in our societies. I'm really
and naturally,
dumb.
They're all like 20 years old doing this in
are.
A video.
But again, they're getting paid.
I thought at first it was another TikTok challenge when I saw the headline.
Well,
that pouring milk out in a grocery store is the new challenge.
Yes,
yeah, so, that's kind of similar to this, that dopey thing where people do that.
Right, and who does that is like immature kids.
Yeah, 16-year-olds, right?
Right, yeah. So
who want to make a video and get likes?
Yeah, yeah. You don't have responsible men and women who are fathers and mothers who have mortgages and car payments. Do you ever see them doing this stuff? Do you ever see a guy who's got to get home to take his kid to soccer practice, or a mother who's got to get home to help her kids with homework and make dinner and whatnot? Do you ever see them doing this stupid stuff? No.
Oh, did you look at the pictures of the video? There is one older guy. He got exactly the look John Cobalt likes. The little goatee and the mustache that comes all the way down underneath his chin, wearing a little wide hat. Like there's a bald head under there. I can see it.
Yeah, so the mentally ill.
Skinny guy wearing skinny jeans. He's staring at the camera and pouring out the milk.
All right, good job, sir.
He's definitely like in his 40s, I think. He's not one of these teenagers.
Yeah, you've had a productive life. Why don't you just tattoo loser on your forehead?
So here are your choices, John, if you want to go to Deborah Mark's side. Almond, soy, coconut, and oat milk.
I've had all.
Which do you prefer?
I prefer oat milk.
Yeah.
Okay. Oat milk's newer, isn't it?
Yes, it is. In fact, when I go get coffee, when I go to Starbucks, I get oat milk creamer.
How do you get
milk? And they charge you more for that, don't they?
I don't know.
How do you get milk out of oats?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It is. It is a little more expensive. Yes.
Well, you have to mash it up and blend it up, John.
Almond milk, it's all
Don't ignore
expensive.
John's question.
How do you get milk out of oats?
You mash it up and blend it up. You blend anything up, it turns liquefied.
So
that's
so,
what a blender does. That's why people make those shakes, those veggie shakes.
So is it like oatmeal?
It just tastes like...
Well,
I haven't had milk in a million years, but it doesn't really even have a taste, to be honest.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's great. So just tasteless, goopy liquid.
Oh, then why do you add it to your coffee if it has no taste?
I add it to
just makes it creamy?
Yes. It makes it creamy, and I don't like black coffee. It's too strong. So
Dilutes it a little bit.
Exactly. And then I put some stevia in there, and then I'm happy.
What is stevia?
It's an artificial sweetener.
Google says to make oat milk, you take some oats, put some filtered water in, and then you blend it all up. So you add water and oats, so it's not actually coming from the oat.
Isn't that what Ken said?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, I said that, except Eric said you add water to it.
So, okay.
Yeah, he said it just liquefies once you blend it up.
Like, you turn it into oat milk just by grinding it up in a blender.
Just like
John, put your face in a blender and you'll become liquefied.
We'll call
it
oat water then, not oat milk.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. There is no milk in there.
Oh, that's right. The milk word.
Oh, God. It's the word.
Yeah, that's why. I remember there was a big fight over that. The dairy industry was fighting this.
Because
they can't appropriate the word milk.
Your whole crowd just steals words that people like and try to pass it on. It's a phony business.
It really isn't. It's for people who don't want to drink dairy.
So call it oat water.
No. How about oat milk alternative?
Oat milk alternative.
How about oat alt?
It's a complete scam industry.
It's not a scam industry.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
All right. When we return, we will be talking to Brian Claypool about these terrible stories involving young boys who died at the hands of their parents, either a mother and live-in boyfriend or their parents, and then, of course, the failure of L.A. County Child Services. We had a big settlement announced today by the L.A. County Board of Supervisors, and then Brian wants to talk about another little boy that died and what's going on in that case. John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.